to you in the name of one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. I have my cheat sheet out today. You haven't noticed that I'm flying solo. Had to even get my spouse to be the crucifer. So I'm worried I got too many details on the head to remember this, but I think I'm good to go. So our reading today is the Lord's Prayer. Very familiar. And the challenge, I would say, it brings to light the challenge of being in a liturgical church. Reverend Rachel, what does it mean that we're a liturgical church? It means that we do essentially the same thing every week. And so if you have not been to church in a month or in 10 years, or you're coming from a church somewhere else, or whatever, another Episcopal church, it's essentially going to be pretty much the same. It's not going to be too different. The rhythm of how we pray is the same. And the challenge with that, then, is that sometimes it just gets a little rote. So we can come and we can do the same thing every week. I was telling someone how I used to sit in the back of the church with my friends, and we would imitate my father, who was also a priest, and we would do the entire communion prayer with him. Really classy. Yeah, but we knew it all by heart. We didn't even have our prayer books open. We just knew it. So the challenge is, though, is how do we, because there is the blessing of we become steeped in that prayer, but there's also the challenge of how do we keep that fresh so that we are paying attention to what we are praying as we pray. And the greatest example of this is the Lord's Prayer, right? It's the one prayer that I can guarantee you all Christians know. It is the one prayer that we can, for the most part, easily pray simultaneously in multiple languages and still make it through without sounding like the Tower of Babel, but rather sounding like all of God's creation coming together. It's the prayer that probably some of you have cross-stitched on your bedroom walls from, you know, a mom or an aunt or a grandparent, or it's been handed down, or it's on a plaque. Right? It is this prayer that we know so well. And so the question is, how do we keep it alive? And I think we even sometimes forget that it comes from Scripture. I was talking to one of the children in our parish this weekend, and I said, oh, well, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. And they were like, yeah, I know that from the service. And I was like, yes, you're right. But those words actually come from Jesus. Those words are how Jesus began to teach us about prayer. And Jesus was a prayerful person. But the disciples said, wait, we want to know how it is you are praying. We want to follow you. So we want to know how is it that you pray. So Jesus gives them these words. And in that, shifts prayer in a slightly different way. Jesus uses the word Father, and I'm not going to get into any conversation about gendered nouns right now. You want to come talk to me? Oh, go talk to our youth if you want to hear about the feminine side of God. They got a great sermon while they were in Canterbury. I think it's Canterbury. Anyway, so Father. Jesus starts the prayer by calling upon God as Father, and Jesus changes God. It changes God from being this transcendent, you know, transcendent sense of God within Judaism to a very imminent present sense of God. Father, parent, the one who cares for you. And then he goes on, this is where I'm going to use my cheat sheets. He goes on then to request, there are four basic things. The request of coming of God's kingdom. Isn't that something we all want? The coming of God's love and peace and mercy and justice to overtake our world, and to rule our lives. There's the request for daily bread, that our daily needs may be met, and not just ours, but the daily needs of every single person on this planet. Give us, your creation. Not give me, give us. And then there's the request for forgiveness, something I believe we all probably need, sinners in the eyes of God. And it's not that we are sinners, it is because we all do mess up. We all do make mistakes. We all do need to seek forgiveness. That is part of being human. And then the last request is for deliverance. Deliverance from those things that are a burden, deliverance from those things that call us away from our relationship with God. Deliverance so that we may in the end draw closer with God and be in a deeper relationship with Him. So out of this story, Jesus then says, here is how you pray, and then has true Jesus style. I'm not just going to leave you with this, but I'm going to give you some story to make sure you get what I mean. And he talks about the person, and they come and they knock on the door because somebody has shown up at their house and they need some bread, and the person says, go away. And Jesus says, keep knocking, because they will eventually answer the door, even sometimes when we don't want to, even when we're already in bed. And the importance of this part of it is that prayer and access to God is not some secret code. The Lord's Prayer is not pray this, prayer of Jabez, and then you're going to get what you want. Praying the Lord's Prayer is not old maid, right? Got what I wanted, I get to go again. Or as I, when I read this, I kept thinking of Sheldon Cooper, right? It's not the Sheldon Cooper knock. If you knock the right way, then you're going to get in. What this is talking about being persistent in your prayer. Being constant in your prayer. Not giving up when you don't necessarily get the answer that you want. Because the point of prayer is not to get what you want. The point of prayer is to be in relationship with God and to realize, regardless of what comes your way, what you pray for or the opposite, God is with you. And every time we pray, we build that relationship. It becomes deeper and richer and more important and foundational in our lives. And then Jesus follows that with the story of, well, if a kid asks you for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? I love that one. And I use that, and I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm probably going to rattle some people here, but I'm going to go for this. Frequently in ministry, I have people who come to me, and they have a whole lot going on, and they say, well, it's okay. God won't give me more than I can handle. My response to that is not something I can say in my collar. But this is the piece of scripture I go to combat that. If you're a parent, you load your child down with more things than they could bear to see if they could manage it. Our God does not do that to us. We ask God for help. God isn't going to say, well, let's see how much more we can put on that scale before you break. But we don't break, or maybe we do. And we always have God with us. That's what that second story is about. God will be with us. And God does not sit up there with the eternal chess game, making sure that you get something good, and well, you did something, so you get something bad. That's not what prayer leads us into. Not some giant scoreboard in the sky with all of our names on it. But what there is a loving God who wants to be in relationship with us, and that when we are in relationship with that loving God, our lives are fuller, our lives have more meaning, our lives draw us into relationship with one another, into relationship with people we may not know or aren't sure we want to know. But that's the power of God's love working through us, and God's mercy, and God's justice. So when we pray this prayer week in and week out, it is to help us deepen our faith. It is to remind us that we have a God who wants to be intimate in our lives. God who cares about what happens to you, the good and the bad. So I want to leave you with a thought from a commentator, and this I had to write down because there was no way I was going to remember this. But I liked this. Her name is Jennifer Waint. For preachers and teachers, this passage offers both a gift and a challenge. It reminds us that prayer is not primarily about results, but about trust. Not about saying the right words, but about staying in relationship with the one who loves us. We knock because we believe someone is listening. We ask because we believe God loves us as children, that the good gift of the Holy Spirit is ours. The Lord's Prayer may be familiar, but it still invites us into mystery. It belongs to us, and yet it escapes us. And maybe that is the point. Amen.